It is day 3 of the Virginia Film Festival. This is Sean McCord in the Filmmakers Lounge at the back of Whiskey Jar. I am sitting across from Cheryl Price, who is a director and a first-time director. We'll get to that. We'll get to that story in a minute. Cheryl Ratner Price of Not the Last Butterfly, which screens today, Saturday, 3:45, just a little over an hour. We'll get in a minute to how you're feeling. We'll start discussing the butterflies both in the films and maybe in your stomach. It screens at 3:45 at Violet Crown. Hey, Cheryl, thank you so much for coming by. So
thank you, Sean, for being here. This is terrific.
So you did not grow up expecting to become a documentary film director.
No, I absolutely did not. I'm a very hands-on person, and I'm a ceramic artist, and becoming a filmmaker was something I felt I needed to do to tell my story, but I had absolutely no idea how to go about it. And I kind of transferred some of my mosaic skills to just gathering every single thing in the world and hoping it would make a story. And I knew that I probably needed some direction.
Well, let's talk about your story. You said it started about 10 years ago when your children, you live in San Diego now, when your children were in a Jewish school and their teacher approached you with an unusual request.
That's right. Jan Landau, who is an educator, extraordinary educator at San Diego Jewish Academy, approached me because I was the artist in residence at the school. And that meant that I had helped with some projects on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, there's this documentary film called Paperclips. And
I think screened here at the festival a few years back.
It certainly did.
I remember seeing it.
It certainly did. And Joe Fab, its producer, is from Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So Jan asked me to help her, and she wanted to do something to commemorate the 1.5 million children that were murdered in the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And use the symbol of a butterfly. And I just looked at her like, well, why are you talking to me? Because I don't do Holocaust. This is not what I'm comfortable with. And she pretty much said, well, we're counting, please. I'm counting on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, okay, we'll try. We're going to make it out of ceramic. And
your medium, of course.
And every single butterfly counts. So that would mean, you know, 1.5 million butterflies is an impossible number, but every single one counts. So okay, let's get started.
Sure. So she came to you with this project, with this notion of wanting to do something to commemorate the Holocaust and the 1.5 million children lost in the Holocaust. You're an artist. This is your medium. Said so. Let's create some ceramic butterflies. So the school that your children go to, they started making ceramic butterflies. But something else happened.
Well, we started making the butterflies by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like, you know, just a little mini factory. And we had parent volunteers and students. And what really started happening is that we recognized we needed the survivors, the Holocaust survivors, in our community to get involved. And, excuse me, honestly, I was afraid, what if they don't like this project and they think we're doing something disrespectful?
Mm.
And at first a little resistance, but then complete excitement about seeing these young people take to the project and paint a butterfly to help them break the ice, tell their stories. And miracles started happening. You know, people started sending in butterflies from all over the country.
Now, how did that happen? How did word get out about the project that you were doing at a Jewish school in San Diego that inspired people to start sending ceramic butterflies? Which it can't be, it's no easy thing to ship something like that to all the way out to California. How did that happen?
That's such a good question, Sean. We were astonished. And what we did is we copied the method of paperclips.
The film paperclips, right.
The film paperclips. They wrote letters to say to everyone, please, will you send us? So we asked, please send us some butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
Help us reach our goal of 1.5 million. And boxes started coming in, and we started putting them up on the walls at the school, and everyone loved putting them up because it's very immediate and gratifying.
Yeah.
And we said, we need to keep going. We need to get more and more people, and we need to reach out beyond the Jewish community. And so, you know, we started doing more interfaith programming. And honestly, that for me is where the project really lives.
So obviously you can't nail 1.5 million butterflies to a wall in a school in San Diego. So when the project Was there a point at which you realized the project was just becoming larger than,
yes,
than you could manage?
3 years into the project, we realized this is insane. Why are we putting all these butterflies where hardly anyone can see them? So we started going to school conferences and talking to teachers and saying, don't you want something at your school that reminds children that they can make a difference, that they help them to build their character, find their courage, their voice,
yeah,
and paint a butterfly, remember these beautiful children, and be proud of it, and join a global community. And it was amazing how quickly large installations started happening in Los Angeles and Charlotte, North Carolina, Tucson, Arizona, Israel, and I mean countless places
And not just Jewish schools.
And exactly, not just Jewish schools. We have butterflies at Catholic schools and other institutions that are community buildings and public gathering spots, and it's very inspiring.
That's beautiful. So at some point, you kind of decided you needed another way to document this. So you began filming. Now, were you filming just in San Diego, or were you...
We started filming just in San Diego. Mm-hmm. I'm a very avid photographer, so I had a lot of still photos. And I thought, oh, a little video, a couple of my photos, boom,
yeah,
we'll have a film. And what I didn't realize was using my method of gathering material for Mosaic wasn't what the magic of film really would work for, as it wouldn't work as well. And so 2 years into the project, I was ready to quit, and I scrapped everything, and I started over. And what really prompted that was around the time that I was really wondering, could I really do this?
Mm-hmm.
I got a phone call from Joe Fab, who did the documentary Paperclips.
So let's paint that picture again, because you didn't know Joe Fab. He's a documentary filmmaker. He had made the film Paperclips, which kind of inspired...
We idolized the film. We thought, okay,
right,
it almost was, you know... So, and I had reached out to him about a year into the project,
mm-hmm,
and heard nothing back. And eight years later, I got a call.
Your phone rings, and it's Joe Fab, the filmmaker. And is he screaming at you that you stole his idea?
Oh, absolutely not. No, he said, you know, sometimes when people are doing Holocaust programming,
mm-hmm,
they love to show Paperclips. Maybe you'd be interested.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, wow, he's soliciting me. I can't believe this. So I said, that's a great idea. And I was wondering, did you know we're in the process of making a documentary film? And he said, no, I did not.
Mm.
And I said, like, do you ever help people? Do you ever consult? And he said, well, sometimes. He sounded very skeptical.
Yeah.
He said, you know, and I found out later that he's been asked for almost 10 years to work on other Holocaust-type
of course,
films. And
yeah,
he's always said no. They didn't have the right ingredients for him. And he said that when he started working on with the Butterfly Project, we didn't even have a title yet for the film.
The title is Not the Last Butterfly.
No, it's Not the Last Butterfly. Not the Last Butterfly.
Right.
He felt it was really worth his time, and he agreed to come on board as a consultant.
That's amazing. So now, where does I don't know this. You live in San Diego. Where is Joe Fab based out of?
Joe is based out of Vienna, Virginia.
Right.
He's a
Virginia.
We started
filmmaker
by Skyping,
yeah,
and lots of phone calls and working on a script. Cheryl, do you have a script for me yet? I'm sorry, Joe. No, I don't know how to write a script.
What's a script for a documentary
film,
right?
What's a script?
Right?
Like, what is that?
Yeah.
So he and I have very different working styles, and it's very complementary because he's very disciplined, very precise, very specific, and he's hugely creative.
Yeah.
And I, you know, have more just let's tell everything. And you know, he really helped me as an outsider to see what could be the real gem of the story. And what we really came up with is that it is the art making that happened in secret at Terezin concentration camp,
yeah,
that helped these children to retain their humanity and there's some hope for survival. And it's the artwork today that allows people to stay a little longer on this very difficult topic and relate it, still relevant to today's really crazy world.
So you had Would you say something like 120 hours of
We have 220 hours of footage.
220 hours of footage.
And it's a 58-minute film.
58-minute film, not The Last Butterfly, which screens today, Saturday, at 3:45 in the Violet Crown. So you've been taking this to... When was the film completed?
We completed the film in April. We had our first screening at the Museum of Tolerance in Los Angeles to a sold-out house, standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
People were painting butterflies before and after the screening, which is really the purpose. This film is to mobilize people to get involved and show that they, too, want to make a difference and paint a butterfly. And our second screening was in New Orleans. We were down with the National World War II Museum, and they made an installation that they rolled out on D-Day, which I'm so proud of.
June 6.
And we were there with Ella Weisberger, who's our main subject in the film, who is an incredible 86-year-old survivor of Terezin, who made art while she was a child.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then we had our third screening in San Diego just in September to another sold-out house, and it's just been extraordinary. And this is our very first film festival. I am over the moon as a new filmmaker to be in such a beautiful environment, great people.
That's right. This film is screening today, but you've been here.
I came in on Thursday.
Thursday, so you've had a chance to see the town and see what kind of a special event this is.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
One last time, I'm talking to Cheryl Ratner Price, the director. You like that?
I like
being
it.
A film director of Not the Last Butterfly, which screens in less than an hour at 3:45 today, Saturday, at the Violet Crown. It's going to be sold out, but everybody's going to want to find out more about the film, especially if they hear this podcast later. So where can people go to continue to find out about this project?
Thank you, Sean. They can go to our website, which is notthelastbutterfly.com.
There we go.
Or they can learn more about the Butterfly Project, butterflyprojectnow.org.
Excellent. Not the Last Butterfly, screen Saturday, today, 3:45 p.m. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really honored. Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have you here, and thank you for coming by and talking to me. And best of luck with all of this. And you'll see that the Virginia Film Festival crowds are the greatest. They're going to ask you such questions.
I'm thrilled. Thank you.
Thank you for being here, Cheryl.